Let us pray. God who provides for us, as we read your scripture together, send your spirit to guide us and to respond in a way that pleases you, growing in our love, service, and discipleship. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is Psalm 1. You may follow along on page 489 of the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Let us listen now for the word of God. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson today comes from the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. You can follow along on page 109 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. We will be hearing the first 8 verses. Let us listen for God's word to us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you cannot do anything. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't think there is any fresh cut flower that I enjoy more than tulips. I love the bright cheerfulness that they bring to our tables. I only treat myself with a bunch maybe once a year, but every time I do, like this past Easter, I realize how much joy they share with me. Even when the stalks begin to wilt after a couple of days, they are still beautiful. But then there's the day, and it always comes too soon, when the tulips can no longer sustain themselves. It always takes me by surprise. I come downstairs, and sadly, I discover the petals and the pollen all fallen off and in a pile around the base of the vase. Then I notice that the stalks are limp and they're a sickly shade of light green because no nourishment has been getting through to them. The once bright and cheerful bringers of joy are no longer. And I desperately wish that I could reconnect those stalks with their bulb so that they could once again receive the nourishment that they need, the nourishment which my water and pennies can't provide. If I could reconnect them, then I would be able to experience that joy once again. Well, I quickly give up my fleeting hope of reconnecting them, Since they are no longer able to do what they are meant to do, it's time for them to go. I clean up the table, I gather the pieces, wipe up the pollen, and toss the withered remains out into the brush pile. Cut off from their life source, at this stage, they have no more to give. Tulips, when they are left in the dirt and connected with their bulb, they can flower up to 4 weeks if the conditions are right. The cut stalks, which grace my table annually, never last for me for more than 7 days. I know that the key to them lasting longer and sharing more of that joy is for them to stay connected to that bulb. Well, every year about this time, I make a mental note that in 7 months, I would love to put lots of bulbs in that front bed. Maybe 2015 will be the year. The key is to keep the tulips connected to that bulb, that source of life. That is the exact same message that Jesus shares with his disciples about their own lives. We hear that in this passage from this morning. It's the last of the 7 I am statements that Jesus shares, the teaching he shares with his disciples right before his death. He wanted them to remember that the key to their life, their productivity, is for them to stay connected to him. He used a familiar and a practical image, one that they knew certainly from the Old Testament scriptures, the image of a vineyard and a vine and branches. I am the vine, he tells them, you are the branches. These are words that we are reminded of every time we celebrate communion with one of our communion banners, lifting up those words for us every month. I am the vine. You are the branches, Jesus says. Connect with me. Receive your nourishment from me. Make your home in me. Abide in me. Hold on to me, and I will hold on to you. I will give you the energy that you need to live and thrive, to share joy and to share love. Friends, the key to our life, the key to our productivity, the key to our nourishment and our hope is staying connected with our life source, staying connected with Jesus. How easily we forget that, though. Too often we live as if we could do something more than those cut tulips. We live as if we can depend on something other than our life source. We live as if we can find our nourishment and strength in something other. Maybe we rely on the strength of something external, like money or gadgets, or the comfort of a person or their approval, or alcohol. Or maybe we rely on our own self-sufficiency, convinced that we can go it alone, trusting in our own strength, presuming that we'll show off to the world, or our boss, or our parents, some sort of self-actualized and admirable autonomy. But those other things don't last. We know that going it alone doesn't last. Too often, we end up like the cut tulips, cut off from our life source, wilting and fading without the nourishment that we need. We know that experience, don't we? We know those times in our lives when we have felt like we were withering and lifeless. Those times when we felt like we had no roots and no source of renewal. We know times like these when we have said to ourselves, I'm at the end of my rope. I feel depleted, shallow. I feel dried up. We might hope at those times that others don't notice, and so we go on pretending that everything is blooming just fine. Thank you very much. But like the tulips, our petals are falling all around us, and others can't help but notice. Our patience runs thin. Our tempers are short. Our creativity is dry. Our joy for living is not what it was before. We feel it. Others see it. We are withering, and our souls are tired. We're not receiving the nourishment that we need because we are not connected with that life source. I have known times like this in my life, and I might guess that all of us can say the same. Times when our spirits are thirsty for that life-giving water. Times when our souls are longing for their true home. We, the branch, yearn for reconnection with the vine, with the one with whom we were made to abide. Friends, that one for whom we were made, the one who provides our souls with the life-giving water, with the nourishment that is always flowing, that one alone is Jesus Christ. This passage reminds us that we are to abide with him. We are to make our home with him. When we feel like we have strayed from this life-giving connection, we can feel that we're wilting like those tulips. But unlike those tulips, we can reconnect, and we can be filled with life and energy once again. We must be intentional about turning to our life source, about turning to his presence, for nothing else will suffice in giving us the nourishment that we need. It is only this remaining, this abiding, this making our home with Jesus that fills us with joy and with love, that fills us with hope and with peace. These aren't things, these aren't feelings that we can bring about any more than I could pick those tulip petals up and put them back on the stalk. These gifts come from abiding with Jesus. And those gifts aren't things that we can create. The gifts of love and joy, the gifts of hope and peace. These are the fruits that we bear when we abide in him. Think about the vine and the branch imagery. The life-giving sap flows freely from the vine out to the branches. The branch doesn't have to try to produce the fruit. It doesn't have to strive to be faithful. But if it is healthy and connected to the vine, to its source of nourishment, that branch will bear fruit. It can do no other. In the same way, if we remain in Jesus, we will bear fruit, just as a tomato plant will bear tomatoes and an apple tree will bear apples. We will bear the same fruit as the vine to which we are connected. We will find love and compassion flowing freely through us out into the world, because that love and that compassion is the sap, it is the heart of Jesus Christ. When we are connected to Christ and when we are committed to the same priorities that he had, we will bear the same kind of fruit that he bore. When we surround ourselves with reminders of his love for us, in worship, in devotional reading, in prayer, in conversation, in thanksgiving and gratitude, then we can't help but pour out love and grace towards others. When we spend time with his teaching in scripture, in small group fellowship, in conversation shared with other fellow travelers, then we can't help but have our lives, our actions, and our choices be models for others. As we spend more time with Jesus, the power and the presence of his Spirit will more fully and deeply rest within us. And we will bear the same kind of fruit that he bore. And we will know that abiding with him is the key to our life. Apart from him, we will wither and we will fade. And our fruit, if we bear any at all, will be tasteless and shriveled up. But connected to Jesus, when we abide with him, all things are possible. So with great confidence and hope, let us hold on to dear life, to that one who is holding on to us. And even when we fail to abide, when we forget that we have been baptized into Christ's life, or when our worries or struggles or pain spin us off into a place that we feel puts us out of reach, even then, the good news is that even at that time, even at that place, that Christ is abiding in us. Thanks be to God. For that is good news this day. Let us pray. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today comes from the Nicene Creed. You can follow along with the words.